here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Well, hey everyone, what's up? I hope you're having an amazing day. And I want to give some shouts out. We have some new countries that are in our top 10. So to the Philippines, it's great to have you. New Zealand now is on the list. We have Isle of Man is right up there. It's just absolutely amazing. Lots of love to everyone in the UK and Australia. Thanks you guys for being so loyal. Of course, North America. So I have a question for all of you. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt as though trust was imploding? And maybe it was a work situation, maybe it was with employees, with colleagues, even in your relationships. And you realize that if there had been more trust, or you felt as though you could have connected with people in a way that felt more integrous, things would have gone better. Well, my guest today is, in my opinion, the global expert on trust. He is the founder of the Trust Edge Leadership Institute. He's the inventor of the Enterprise Trust Index, and that is an annual report that comes out and really discerns the highest areas of trust and the lowest too. He is the best-selling author of The Trust Edge, and his brand new book is called Trusted Leader. On top of it, I'm going to open with a little story before we bring him out. A few years ago, I was messaging with him and he's like, let me get back to you. I'm in Africa. And I was like, what are you doing in Africa? And he said, well, all of the countries in Africa have brought me in to help them develop more trust. And that speaks volumes to who he is. He doesn't just work with Fortune 100 CEOs. He's working with whole governments, y'all. So with that, David Horsager, thanks for being here.
It is a treat to be here, Susan. And I'm a treat to see your success and call you a friend. And just grateful for you and your impact and inspiration in my life.
Well, thank you. I want to jump right in. Let's just face it. In a lot of countries right now, especially with the pandemic, with employment situations, it's my feeling, though I could be wrong, that trust seems to be even politically at an all-time low. And I'd love to, because you do this annual sort of thermometer, you know, really testing the gauge of where things are at, I'd love for you to weigh in. Is it just my perception or is that what is actually going on?
It certainly is certain types of trust. So institutional trust is down steeply. And if you think of in America, if you take institutional trust, we don't have to get on this. I know we got a lot of entrepreneurs and there's so much relevant how we build it. But the research piece, the global piece is called Trust Outlook. So if you want that research piece, it's trustoutlook.com and you can get it all for free. But basically, take a look at institutional trust, which is kind of what you're talking about. So in our country, since Nixon, you know, when there was about 80% of trust in our government to do what's right, most people said we trust. Now there's less than 7% of people believe our government is going to do what's best, is actually trusted. But if you think of this is interesting, because this is a message for entrepreneurs. Big is not trusted. So think of big, big food. Okay. Big food. That food right next to me in that little farm that's built, you know, that little stand. Oh, where I know where I'm getting my food. Oh, I trust that. Big education isn't trusted. Institutional education. But oh, that charter schools and homeschooling has gone through the roof because of it. Think of religious. The same number of people believe in God basically in America as did 80 years ago. And yet, any metric that would show that, going to a place of worship, giving toward a place of worship, meeting, Bible studies, whatever, any metric would show that's down steeply. So institutional trust is down steeply, but trust where I can see you, touch you, even certain technological trust, and here you are, a tech investor, is up because of the ways trust can be built in things like blockchain or Airbnb, you know, or even Uber or Lyft, you know.
Wow, I'm actually so surprised that not that big isn't trusted, because we're seeing that all the time. And I mean, there are a million questions I want to ask you. So I just want to ask you, is there anyone in big business who is doing it right. If you could just rattle off perhaps a few companies, because I think there are some bigger companies that seem to be doing a pretty good job.
I'll give you one example. They've done some really interesting things over at Unilever. It's a mega behemoth company. You got this kind of conservative brand who brought in Ben and Jerry's and kind of the opposite in a way, as far as their followers. And they said, we're going to build trust in a different way. We're going to welcome them in. We're going to be ourselves. I mean, there certainly are big companies doing it well. I think Delta Airlines, I mean, as far as all airlines, is certainly above and beyond the other American airlines, not American Airlines, I mean, North American airlines, for many reasons. One, they took COVID seriously. They stuck with it, even though they could have made more money and stacked the planes full. They said, we are really going to care. We're going to invest in all these, you know, the best cleaning, the best new airflow systems and airplanes. They made some major sacrifice. And they showed their empathy and care. And you know, by the way, they were the best in many metrics for the last many years running. And they've stayed that way because they've kept doing what they said they would do.
Oh, wow. Well, those are some great examples. And I think that's, you know, really leading into the next question is, what are some signs? Because this may sound like an obvious question, but you know, all the listeners know I'm a super curious person, right? So what are some of the signs that trust is really disseminating in an organization? And you know, we have people who are solopreneurs listening. We have people who are building significant teams. We have people who are running multiple businesses listening. How do we, it's like, do I have the flu, right? There are little signs and symptoms. What are the initial signs and symptoms that, we have a problem here?
Sure. So, the 8-pillar framework that I came out of my original grad work, you know, 20 years ago, and now it's been revalidated by outside universities, PhDs have been built on, and all this kind of thing. It's still that same 8-pillar framework that you can measure trust on. We just had a new study come out of a university that said this is the way trust is built globally. So if I take those pillars, I don't have to give all of them right now, but let's just take the clarity pillar. What we learned, one pillar of the eight, we trust the clear and we mistrust or distrust the ambiguous. Or the overly complex. Okay. It's just one part. Clarity doesn't mean I'll trust you to give me a root canal, because there's a competency pillar, right? That, you know, all eight are important to gain what we've come to call the trust edge. But we believe most people aren't solving the root issue. And the only way to solve the root issue is deal with trust. And that doesn't, you know, leadership communication is never a communication issue. Clear communication. And on the clarity pillar, clear communication is trust and unclear communication isn't. So when you say, well, let's do communication, you're not solving the real issue unless you do clarity. Or compassionate communication is trusted. Hateful communication isn't. So quit saying communication or engagement and solve the real issue. So one of those is clarity. So let's take clarity. What are some things we see? I had a vice president of a global company who said, we started to understand what we were getting your pillar right when we heard around the globe the echo. What we said was coming back to us. Okay, so that's one sign. On the other side, there's counterforces to every pillar. So a counterforce of clarity would be complexity, if I overcomplexify things, or would be ambiguity if I don't understand things, or a lot of professor, you know, when I was a professor, we kind of had a ego about sounding complex. And the truth is you lose trust every time you are not understood, you know, and by the way, people, branding experts, marketing experts around the world think they're clear when they're not. It takes immense work. Take another pillar. Let's just take connection for a moment. We know that we trust those that are willing to connect and collaborate with others. What's a counterforce especially in a big company? If I go into a company, I see siloing. I see they're unwilling to share. They have 5 printers where they could have 2 because they're just unwilling to share in that same little cube, place. They're unwilling to collaborate. They're unwilling to connect with others. We know we have an issue with the connection pillar and they're losing trust because of it.
I wrote that down. We trust the clear, we distrust the complex. And David, as you know, because I was just a guest on your show, that in the AI world, I'm explaining very complicated tech to non-technical people because they're going, well, is this going to boost our sales? Is this going to boost our profitability? Is it going to, you know, boost our productivity? And one of the things I had to learn, especially, so myself and there are 4 co-founders, and they all come from technical backgrounds, Carnegie Mellon engineering and, you know, MIT and all this stuff. And there I was, the non-technical person. And so I would explain things the way I had been explaining things with is a lot of effervescence and, you know, motivating teams and stuff. And I realized they didn't understand what I was saying.
Yeah.
And it was one of the co-founders, Brian, who said to me, Susan, he's trained in NLP. He's a master, you know, and he said to me, Susan, you have to learn how to speak engineer. And I said, well, I was raised by an engineer, Brian. What does that mean? I thought I did speak engineer. And he said, no, Susan, it is very clear, very concise, very linear. And he said, if you can do that, the tech team is going to love you. And I had to learn, Dave, because I realized I would say, hey, guys, can we make this update? And they had no clue what I was saying. And so when they wanted me to do something, they would go to someone else in the company and get them to come to me because it was like having a translator. And so I so appreciate that you said that. And I think, I know you want to jump in. Go
ahead. Well, I want to say one thing to follow it up because this is a part of it that you're so good at. Okay. And this is part of why you're, you know, a co-founder and, you know, you've got these people that have this, but another way to simplify the complex as an example would be story, right? So I'll give it in this little world that I'm in. In fact, my first book, Trust Edge, you know, it was like 500 pages when I sent it to the editor and they said, okay, now cut 200 pages out and miraculously it became a Wall Street Journal bestseller because they're like, get rid of the research. They want to know you did it, right? So that first half of that original research showing the case for trust, now people get it. But back then, they didn't see how a lack of trust really affected the bottom line more than anything else. So I'll get a couple things. I threw out the research, a lot of it as far as explaining it. And I'll give you a couple little ways of simplifying the complex. So instead of all this research showing how trust drives down attrition and drives down costs and increases efficiencies and, you know, speeds up time, I can just say a couple things to get the idea. Okay, I would just say to someone in this complex kind of weird topic of trust, I might say, well, think of a lock business. Why do you buy a lock? The only reason you buy one is because you don't trust someone, right? It's a lack. So what is the cost of that lack of trust? Money. I got to buy the lock. The big cost is time. Now I've got to open it. And this little idea, or if I just say to someone, hey, write a text to someone you trust. How long does that take? Boop. Now write a text to someone you don't trust. How long does that take? Oh my goodness. And they just start to see the cost without doing this, all this research and grad work and all this stuff. They just like, oh, I get it. Okay. Now I can move on to the important stuff, which is how do we actually build it? Right. And so, one thing people get quickly today is I've learned maybe one other example of simplifying the complex that I hope would be helpful to the leaders and solopreneurs and entrepreneurs on today is I started looking at leading and lagging indicators. Well, that can get to be wrong, right? And I kept finding that it's actually trust is always the leading indicator. And now I can quickly almost through maybe it's not a story, but I can say, hey, look, you think it's a leadership issue? It never is. The only reason you follow a leader or not is trust, unless it's a dictator, right? You think it's a commodity issue? I mean, you think it's a sales issue? Unless it's a commodity, the only reason you buy or not is trust. Oh, the only reason your teachers, like the teacher is they trust the teacher. I mean, the only way to increase trust in a learning environment increase learning in an environment is increased trust in the content, the teacher, whatever. The only way to amplify a marketing message is increase trust in the message. It's only one way. And they start to get it without all of the, research and everything. And it means something to them. Oh, I do want more marketing. I want my marketing to stick. Oh, I got to deal with trust then. I want my leadership. I want people to actually follow me. Oh, I got to deal with trust then. I want to increase innovation. If people don't trust each other on the team, they hide ideas. Oh, I've got to increase trust on the team. Then I can solve the real issue. So, you know, even in my own work, I've had to deal with that first pillar, clarity, because I wasn't, and I'm still not very good at that pillar, right? Because yeah, I like the details and the research and, you know.
But what I'm hearing from you is we can all learn, right? We can always get better. You and I have known each other for well over a decade. We met in the Harvey McKay roundtable. And, you know, how many times have we ever sat down and Harvey reads from, you know, lined paper and he'll lay out, you know, 27 ways to creatively close the sale or whatever. And it's so clear and we trust him implicitly. So I so see the connection there right now, businesses, brands, solopreneurs, there's no option other than to be on social media and talk about a cesspool of lack of trust. One of the questions that I get asked all the time is really around how do businesses and brands, how do they do a better job conveying their message on social media? And I have referred so many people to your book because I'm like, you have to build trust. You have to become a trusted brand. Let's start with that one, rapid fire. What are some things people can do if they're listening like right now and say, oh, I so see where I'm falling down. What are some things they can do right now to help to build greater trust around their brand?
Well, you know, once again, I'll take the 8-pillar framework and I'll apply it. Is it clear? Is the message clear or is it not? Is it connecting? Is it compassionate? Do I show care for them or not? If I'm not showing care for them, nobody cares. So if you think of, I mean, the most trusted person in the world to the most people is not the Pope and it's not Oprah, it's mom. And so we can learn something from mom because mom will sacrifice, she'll stipulate. So if we can think of, okay, how do I care? Kind of like, mom, how do I show that care? How is it? Does it show the character we want to be? Does it show commitment to them? So we want to say, hey, give me your email. Give me this. Give me this. Give me this. Well, first I got to show my commitment to them. Does it, you know, is it consistent? All of these things. Two quick, maybe I'll just jump to three like tactical ideas. I won't say which pillar they fit under, but one is today, if we don't lead with empathy, understanding them in almost the first sentence, it doesn't matter. We have to lead with, I see where you are. I see you. I get your problem. If people don't feel like you get their problem on social media, it's almost over. Then in the right way, we do have to show we can help solve it. So I don't spend forever saying, I'm the most researched in the world on trust and all this stuff, but we have to show, hey, we helped with that corruption issue in East Africa. We helped with this issue here. So leading with, showing some credibility is important, but it's not important until you showed empathy first. Mm-hmm. Tactically, I would say a way to amplify trust or mistrust in our world today is use more video, because video, people can feel it, sense it, and all these things. So you can also amplify distrust that way, but tactically, you can also increase trust immensely more with video. They can feel all these things quicker than the written word in social media.
That was, I just took several notes there, David. Be clear, be compassionate, lead with empathy. I get you, right? And show credibility. I'm so happy you mentioned video, because we're living in this wacky world. And, you know, I've shared this in different episodes before. I have not worked this hard. Once COVID hit, it was like suddenly I was working more. I haven't networked as intimately as I have. You know, you go to an event, you meet people, yeah, we'll connect, and we never do. My networking is through the roof. It's all virtual. And speaking is all virtual. I'm booked 10 times more right now in 2021 than I was in 2020. And I want to talk about that, building trust when you are virtual. And we know the obvious, don't show up in your jammies on the Zoom and, you know, all that good stuff. But what are some tips you would give for the people listening who say, you know what, I was used to going to my BNI, or I was used to going out and shaking hands, and now I'm trying to do deals, make sales, raise capital, do all this stuff virtually. What tips would you give for that?
You know, I've been writing a lot, and it'll be a book soon about after Trusted Leader is the book right now, but like I've been working a lot on tension. Okay. So like my daughter, when she plays violin, if the tension in the violin is too tight, it sounds terrible. If it's too loose, it sounds terrible. But when it's just right, it's right tension, you know, it sounds good. And entrepreneurs have to deal. This is a big jump, by the way, because this is new. Like I'm thinking about this and researching this, and I wasn't planning on this at all, but I'll give you an inside peek of some of my new thoughts here. We as entrepreneurs need to make good decisions in the midst of tension. So as an example, should I persevere or should I pivot? We see people persevere right off the cliff, but we see other people persevere just long enough to have a breakthrough. We see people pivot and they won the day, and some people don't pivot and they never pivot and they go right off the cliff. So do I, you know, there's all kinds of these. Should we generalize or should we niche? You can do a, there's a lot of good with generals to everybody. We can get this to everybody. Oh, we got a niche here, and it's not an answer always. So I got to deal with those. So in this pandemic time, especially, should I give or should I get? Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought of this because I want to call you out, because my producer, when you were on my show, said, of all these people we've had after the show, she said, she is the most generous.
Oh, thank you.
Susan is a giver first. And you know, and I know you have been so generous with me, with others in our mastermind group, and you're noticed and known for generous. And so I will say, in this time, we need to give first. Mm. You and I both saw people in this time in the last year that said, oh no, what am I going to do? Okay, here's the COVID special, so I can get something. And it's like, bleh. But those people that reached out in empathy and gave first, they were natural at it. Because what, Susan, before COVID, you were giving first. So it came natural. And so your business. So if I was going to say something right now, still, it would be this practice. And it kind of comes under that compassion pillar I mentioned, but it is giving first. This is a jump. Boy, am I jumping all over the place. I hope it's valuable.
I love it.
About 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I wanted to jump back to the video thing, because the question you asked about today and one of my things about video and marketing is, I was speaking at a big event. I don't know, not huge, but 1,000 people or something. And I was keynoting, and then I stayed for the next speaker, who was a marketing expert. And he told the big boat dealers association, all these beautiful boats and marining, you know, boats. And it was all this. And he said, today, for each of you that owns a marine dealership, I would not hire a marketing person. I would hire a videographer. Mm-hmm. He said, today people will learn. Just have that videographer video one of your cool boats every week and put it out on social media or whatever. It was just a simple idea. I started thinking about this. People see and get so much more. Frankly, they get more clarity. They get more feel. They get so much more through video. And within a month, I hired a full-time video person. Now you can imagine the fortune that was as we went into, you know, March 15th, I stopped flying, and we have, you know, overnight we have to build a 5-camera studio, and we're producing for events around the world and all that. And we were set up for it because of what happened. I used to, you know, be in a couple hundred flights a year, the 100 events around the world. And we're now doing those from studio at a higher caliber than others. So you had another question of how do you reach today? I think the giving is one thing. I think another thing is being competent and in this space. So we jump to, in speaking and training and development, we jump to the kind of the top in a space because of going all in on what people needed in that space. So those are two very different things, but being excellent is trusted, mm-hmm. you know, being excellent in the communicator in this new space and not saying, oh, it'll come back. Oh, this, oh, that. Nope. We're building the 5-camera studio. We are going to be the best at pulling people in and out of chats. We're going to be the best at engaging. We're going to, frankly, never use polling. People think it's engaging and it almost never is. You know, it's like we're going to use the things that actually work for engagement and impact. So that speaks to trying to be excellent in a space just through competency. But first, you know, in giving versus getting in this time, you know, is another idea. A couple quick ideas.
No, that's outstanding. It's that the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And our mutual friend, Joe Soto, Joe was on the show, and we were off camera. We weren't recording. And he was just sharing a story about reaching out. He had read this marketing book, and he reached out to the author on LinkedIn and said, I'm so impressed with your book. And, you know, can I open up my Rolodex? We don't call them anymore, but, you know, whatever. I still call it a Rolodex. Anyway.
I totally do.
Yeah. I know my son is listening. He's like, what is a Rolodex? It just, AJ, I'll tell you later. But anyway, so the author said, you know, no one ever does this. Everyone is always asking me like what, you know, what I can do for them. And so I had set an intention. This show is my passion project because if it helps at least one entrepreneur, like you said, stay the course long enough to get that breakthrough, then I've done my job. And so I started saying to everyone who came on the show, what can I do for you? Who can I introduce you to? And as a result of doing that, my show guests, unless you're like a really close friend of mine, I am booked up for months in advance. I have, you know, people are like, do you, you know, can I be on your show? I'm like, well, probably, you know, 4 or 5 months from now. And it's just that willingness to do that. And then when my friends like you come to me and like, I have a new book, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to promote it. Our mentor, Harvey McKay, this is a funny story. I don't know, you don't know this one because we haven't spoken since then. So our mutual friends, Glenn and Mindy Stearns. So Glenn Stearns, undercover billionaire. Mindy messaged me and she's like, hey, Susan, can you be on our show tomorrow? I'm like, of course, I love you guys. And I had Harvey McKay's book, Getting a Job is a Job. And I'm on the back cover endorsing the book with Lou Holtz, who I secretly have a crush on. Shh, don't tell his wife. But no, I'm just kidding. And my husband, listen, Chris, it's okay. It's not that kind of a crush, but I love Mr. Holtz. So anyway, every show I'm on, I'm like, oh, by the way, if you haven't read Harvey's new book, and just being that good person, people love to be around good people. That's why I said my networking, my speaking, all of it has never been like it is. And it goes back to what you said. And that's what I want.
Yeah. So on that one,
add value, right?
The tension is, there still is a tension, just like there's pivot or persevere. And there's like 9 tensions I talk about. One tension is give versus get. Actually, at some time, we need to get paid. We need to support our, you know, 20 yards away from me is my whole team. They're in today, you know, in masks and stuff. So you have to get, but when you lead with, especially in this time, lead with get, hey, I got the deal. I got the, and it's like, no, lead with give and you will get. And it's kind of that Einstein quote of, you know, don't try to be successful, try to give value. And, you know, that try to be a person that gives value, and we can just keep going back to that, but it's amplified in a pandemic.
Beautiful. I want to talk about your new book, and then I'm going to ask a question that I've started asking everyone. I want to preface this with a story. So I'm walking through the airport in Minneapolis, and Chris and I, we're on our way to Paris. There is no direct flight from Scottsdale to Paris, just in case you don't know this. Anyway, so we were commuting through there, and I'm walking through a big, beautiful airport, and there's a bookstore, and the whole wall is the Trust Edge. And I was like, I know him. The whole wall, David. Like, that's crazy. And so firstly, I want to give a unsolicited, unrequested plug for your first book, because it is so good. I love the book, and I love that your publisher said condense it. It's juicy, it's yummy, and you can read it fast. Let's talk about the new book, because I'm sure it's going to be up on the wall at the airport too. So tell us about the new book.
New book, Trusted Leader. Basically, we kept hearing a couple different things. One, we kept hearing leaders say, well, isn't trust something like you either have or you don't? No, you can actually actively build it. And it is your number one asset. It is the leading indicator. Everything else lags. It's the root cause, root issue. We kept people seeing leaders try to solve the wrong issue. Well, let's do an engagement survey. Well, it turns out you don't get engagement with engagement. You only increase engagement when you increase trust. Oh, how do I deal with that? You know, and so one of the other things from our global study we kept finding was and this is absolutely true, the last 3 years running, number one reason people want to work for an organization, last 3 years, ahead of being paid more, ahead of being a more, you know, autonomous, ahead of a more fun work environment with a ping pong table, you know, number one, they want to trust their leadership. And it turns out we've been finding people either want to work for leaders they trust or be a trusted leader. And so this new book we were pushed, and it's really fun how it came together. The first half is a fun, enlightening, inspiring parable about Ethan that really finds a mentor in Sunny Bonaventure and the way she set her business up and basically saves his. And it's enlightening little ways you never thought about trust before. So you get how trust matters more than ever, and a shift of thinking. Very quick, easy read, but it's full of nuggets. The second half, you know, since writing Trust Edge and doing that research 20 years ago and then writing it over a decade ago, all these new tactics and tips we've learned on how you can start building trust tomorrow morning, how you can build that pillar tomorrow morning. So the truth is, it actually is the same 8-pillar framework, because that is research, evidence-based truth. But in Trust Edge, we had there's a whole lot of great takeaways there, but now we've learned all these, the spa method, the trust shield, the, you know, the how strategy, this way that I lost 52 pounds in, you know, 5.5 months. That was since that time, you know, is this way that people have learned to triple sales, the 90-day quick plan. So these strategies and tips, that second half of the book takes and outlines not just the case for trust very quickly, why a lack of trust is your biggest cost, but how you can build it the fastest tomorrow morning. And we have a great opportunity today, as you can imagine. People ask me, you know, when is your fastest opportunity to build trust? Isn't that first interaction? That's a good time, but it's not the fastest. The fastest opportunity is in crisis. So if you have a crisis or your recovery, you feel like we're in recovery, that's your fastest opportunity. You think of George W. Bush. When was he most trusted as president? The week after 9/11, his ratings were the highest because of how he dealt with it. And so we have a massive opportunity today. You know, the questions everybody's asking about you as a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, is not, do I like you? That's false. I've got friends I like a lot that I wouldn't go into business with. The number one question everybody's asking is, can I trust you?
Yeah, beautiful. Well, David, thank you so much. And before we give people a reference, this is the question I asked our friend Brandon Steiner. And I know that there are a lot of people out there who are hurting right now. And it can be really hard. And I want this show to be one of your go-tos every single week that you know you're going to leave feeling better than when you showed up. And so, David, inspired by our friend Glenn Stearns, if you had nothing but your phone and $100, rapid fire question, what would you do?
Okay. There's a quote in the opening of the book. And, you know, I wasn't prepped on this question, so I'm giving it authentic. The opening of this book says, I say, if you're doing leadership alone, you're doing it wrong. And I see it all the time. These days, I get to sit next to presidents of countries and presidents of companies, and I see imposter syndrome. I see sadness. I see aloneness, and they fail because of it. And you and I met because of a mastermind group. The dedication of the book, Trusted Leader, is to two small groups. One of them I've been in for 28 years. That group has kept meeting, and they make me better at home, as a dad, as a father, and they make me better in business. And so I would take, I don't know what the $100, I'd go eat a snack. I would be healthy. You know, I'd go buy some celery. But what I care about is the phone. I would connect with my people. I have nothing. I would connect. I would love on them. And I would further those relationships. And frankly, once you've built that, you can actually maybe ask for something if you're in your dire straits too. But it's that, you know, if the quote I would say is, if you're doing leadership alone, you're doing it wrong. You need people. And when you only have $100 and a phone, you still have the relationships. Mm. If they're built on trust, even better.
Great answer. I love that. Well, I'm not going to reveal what Steiner said. I made your question a little easier. I said you had your phone, but there were no contacts in it.
That's
what I said to Steiner. So, and it was great. And so it's my hope, everyone, that today, you know, you got something. I have a page of notes, and I know, David, that you got something that you can use right away. And David and I would love a 5-star review on iTunes, share off iTunes, Spotify. If you are on YouTube, I'm the one responding to your comments. So just comment below. And David, there's a special link with some free resources. Can you tell everyone what are the resources, and we'll send them there right now?
Absolutely. For you and for your listeners, we give the whole masterclass, about $1,000 course, that it's 72 videos. It's how you can build these 8 pillars of trust as a leader and as an organization. And so that's all there. All of our newest research you get access to, for those of you that would like to actually take a research-based perspective and apply it to your organization or your company or yourself personally. We've had people say this work helped triple their sales, and we've had people say it saved their marriage. So I don't care what it does, but when they get this language and a bunch of other tools that you can use just for getting one copy of the book.
I love it. So go to trustedleaderbook.com/Susan, get your free resources. And again, thanks, David, for being here. Congratulations on the book. Thank you for everything you do. I'm definitely going to have you back. And with that, this has been another episode of the Susan Sly Project, and we'll see you on a future episode.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.